to know by this time is Whit Sunday, what is more accurately called the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate this morning, when Christians all over the world remember that occasion when, in a new and evident sense, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the waiting disciples according to the promise of the Lord Jesus. Pentecost obviously occupied a very significant place in Jesus' teaching, and indeed in the unfolding of his purpose of salvation for which he had come. And it's very easy for us to lose the whole concept of the central place that the day of Pentecost held in Jesus' thinking and teaching. Thus he instructed the disciples at the beginning of the book of Acts to wait in Jerusalem until they had received what the Father had promised through the Son, the gift and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do not go away, he says. Wait until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In several different ways he had promised this day to the disciples. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, he says, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. And again later in John 16 we read that Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And he has promised to send the Holy Spirit so many times in his ministry. Now on the day of Pentecost, that event promised by Jesus occurred. The Spirit of God came in a vivid and powerful way. The same Holy Spirit, may I say, who brooded over the waters at creation. The same Holy Spirit whose activity you can trace throughout the Old Testament, who entered into the dry bones in Ezekiel's vision, and the dry bones were brought to life. The same Spirit that the prophets declared would come in a new way in the day of the new covenant. He came on the day of Pentecost to establish a new creation, to create a new humanity, which was to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Now there are two questions that I want us to ask about the significance of the day of Pentecost. I want to ask one of them this morning, and the other one next Sunday morning. The first is, what is the meaning or significance of the day of Pentecost? What is happening on this occasion? What really does it mean, and mean especially for us? Next Sunday morning, I want to go on to ask the other question. What are the results or the implications of the day of Pentecost and of the gift of the Holy Spirit on this remarkable occasion? The first of these questions this morning, then, what is the meaning of Pentecost? Pentecost is, of course, a Jewish feast. It is the feast of Pentecost that we are celebrating this morning. And Jews celebrated that feast for generations, of course, before this particular Pentecost described in Acts 2. Indeed, Jews came to it from all over the world as they did to the Passover. And you can see this spelled out in Acts chapter 2 in verse 5, where we read that there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Again in Acts 20 verse 16, when Paul is wanting to be back in Jerusalem in time for Pentecost, Jerusalem then was the scene of a great gathering of people from all over the world. The word Pentecost simply signifies 50th, and it was the 50th day after the Passover. So if the ascension of Jesus, of which we were thinking two Sundays or so ago, was 40 days after his resurrection, the day of Pentecost is 10 days after the ascension. And Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. It has various Old Testament connections, and each of them sheds light on its meaning. And I want us to try to discover the meaning and significance of Pentecost this morning by looking at three of these Old Testament connections that the Feast of Pentecost had. And here in the fulfillment of that, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, we discover the real meaning of this very special day and this highly central occasion of which our Lord Jesus spoke so much. The first of these Old Testament connections is that the Feast of Pentecost was called frequently the Feast of Weeks. That is, of course, because it was the 50th day after the Passover and marked an end of a week of weeks, 7 weeks of 7 days, and so they described it as the Feast of Weeks. But the link between the Passover and Pentecost is of great significance. The Passover was the great celebration, of course, of Israel's redemption out of Egypt by the shedding of blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over, said God. And this day of Pentecost, this day described in Acts 2, came 50 days after the day when Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, offering himself as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of men. Now the point is that you cannot understand the meaning of Pentecost divorced from the significance of the Passover. And you cannot understand the meaning of this day of Pentecost divorced from the significance of that Passover which it succeeded. In this sense, you see, the day of Pentecost is a vital part of Christ's redeeming work, for the simple reason that the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was to accomplish in us what Jesus, by his death and resurrection, had accomplished for us. And this is all that Jesus concentrates their attention upon as he speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, he says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what the Holy Spirit was sent to do primarily on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 was to accomplish in us what Jesus had accomplished for us by his death. That is, his ministry is to apply the benefits of the death and resurrection of Christ to the life of the believer. So that if you were to ask what is the complete work of Christ for our salvation, you would have to say that it consists of his leaving heaven's glory, his being born of a virgin, his perfect life, his atoning death, his resurrection and ascension and being seated at the right hand of God the Father, his sending of the Holy Spirit, his continuing intercession that he might save us to the uttermost, and his ultimate return in glory when he will wind up the affairs of this bankrupt world and complete his purpose of salvation. Now that great sweep from Jesus leaving heaven to Jesus returning to heaven and returning again to the world is the full account of what Christ has done for our salvation. And the sending of the Holy Spirit is a central element in that work of Christ, and its particular significance that he came in order to apply to us what Christ had gained for us. You see, in a sense, it is not enough that Jesus had gained redemption. The vital thing is that we might receive redemption. It is not enough that Christ paid the price for my sin. It is that my guilt might be lifted. It is not enough that Christ is a risen and exalted Savior. It is vital that I am personally raised into newness of life. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to apply the benefits of Christ's saving work and to raise me into newness of life and make me a new creature. Now, in that sense, you see, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was a once-for-all event, no more repeatable than Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection are repeatable. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, who was given and sent in that unique sense at Pentecost, is given to every believer who repents and receives the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is that unique event fulfilling the promise of Jesus, the outpouring of His Spirit upon the church. But it is a gift which is personally given upon repentance and faith to everyone who believes. So that in that sense, every true believer has a personal Pentecost. And if you ask, is there such a thing as a personal Pentecost for every believer? The answer is most assuredly yes. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, to raise us into newness of life so that Christ's life may be lived out through us. But let me say for emphasis, that that personal Pentecost is also a once-for-all, unrepeatable event, because it is the initial work of God's grace, whereby we are born of the Spirit and indwelt by the Spirit, so that our body becomes His temple. That is the personal Pentecost every believer has. Let me repeat it in another way. The personal Pentecost of which Scripture speaks is not a subsequent experience of some Christians after conversion. It is an initial experience of all Christians at conversion. Because, says the Apostle, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. That means that your personal Pentecost is the day of your regeneration, when you receive the life of God into your soul and are raised up to be a new man or woman in Christ. And it's a very important thing for us to grasp that this is precisely what Ezekiel is prophesying in Ezekiel 36:25, when he says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your uncleanness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you." Now that is your personal Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes to take up His dwelling within you. That leads me to the second significance of Pentecost, the second meaning of it, and it's this. Secondly, amongst the Jews, it is clear that Pentecost was a celebration of the giving of the law. Some think that the giving of the law on Mount Sinai in Exodus 20 was exactly 50 days after the Passover, and therefore at the time that came to be celebrated, as the Feast of Pentecost. What is quite without doubt is that in later Judaism there was a close connection between Pentecost and the giving of the law, and they celebrated the giving of the law on the day of Pentecost. If you think about it, you can see how significant that is. The giving of the law of God was designed by God by an external standard to form and mold the lives and characters of his people. That's what the giving of the law was for. When God gave these Ten Commandments, he was wanting to shape and mold by an external standard the lives of his people. But God's ultimate purpose was not to write his law on tablets of stone. His ultimate purpose was to write that law in the hearts of men. And so we read in Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. Now that is what is being fulfilled at Pentecost. As Paul makes clear in 2 Corinthians 3, in that great chapter that speaks of the giving of the law and the glory of the law, and he says, if the dispensation of the letter of the law was glorious, how much more the dispensation of the Spirit? What is the connection? The law that was written on tablets of stone, God is now writing by his Holy Spirit in the hearts of his people. My dear friends, there's the great second reason why the Holy Spirit is given to us. In all our thinking about the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Spirit, the receiving of the gift of the Spirit, we dare not forget that the central ministry of the Holy Spirit is to write the law of God on the hearts of God's people. The central ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make us keepers of God's law. And I'll tell you why that is. It is because the law is a reflection of God's character. The Holy Spirit's work is to glorify the Lord Jesus, who shows God's character. And the place where he glorifies the Lord Jesus is in your life and character. So when you speak about becoming like Jesus and the Holy Spirit making you like Jesus, my dear friends, we are not speaking about any nebulous kind of affair. We are not speaking about something that's different according to your taste or notion. We are speaking about a life and character that bears all the evidence of the moral law of God being etched into your daily behavior. Now, in a sense, there is only one ultimate way of discerning that the Holy Spirit truly abides in someone's life and indwells them. And that is that their life and character and daily behavior is increasingly becoming conformed to the law of God. Because this is God's purpose. That simply means, you see, that the Holy Spirit's ministry is not primarily emotional. It is primarily moral. That is not to say that the Holy Spirit does not produce emotion in us. Of course he does. God save us from becoming refrigerated Christians. But the Holy Spirit's great ministry is a moral ministry to change our character and make us like Christ. So there is the second great significance of the Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost. It is a celebration of the law of God. And here is the third. If the Feast of Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks because it was associated with the Passover, if it was called a celebration of the law of God, in the third place, it is also called the Feast of First Fruits. Now that's described in Numbers 28:26. And it was the time when the first ears of ripe corn were offered to God. The first fruits of the harvest meant a great deal to God's people in that particular society, and these first fruits were part of the harvest as well as the promise of it in fullness. Now do you see how perfectly God chooses times and seasons? For this particular day of Pentecost in Acts 2, was to see the first fruits of the harvest of the gospel. And that harvest is still being gathered all over the world this morning. So if the day of Pentecost is a saving event, and if it is also a moral event, let me press upon you that the day of Pentecost here is a missionary event. And it's vital for us to grasp this. Says Jesus, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in an expanding circle that ultimately reaches the ends of the earth. So Pentecost is a saving event, a moral event, and a missionary event. And the point of the reference in verse 5, to men from every nation under heaven gathered in Jerusalem, is that here God is going to spread abroad to the world in microcosm, as it were, the wonderful works that he has done in Jesus Christ. Now there is this missionary gathering, as it were, of multitudes of people from every race and nation, and they are obviously chosen for special reasons. It seems that their cosmopolitan origins are a symbol that the gospel is to be spread throughout the whole of the world. There are people, did you notice, from Parthia and Mesopotamia in the north, from Egypt and Libya in the south, from Arabia in the east, and from as far as Rome in the west. And God gave his servants tongues so that these foreign visitors could understand that what they were to hear of the wonderful works of God. And the whole point of these tongues that appear on the day of Pentecost is quite without question that they were speaking in foreign languages which those from distant places could understand and hear and receive. They said, we hear every man speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. This was a missionary event, you see. It was not something, you cannot get away from this, it was not something to be consumed upon their own emotional interests. It was something that was intended for missionary expansion. And my dear friends, we need this vision in our day. The God who came down in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is a God who still has this purpose. To reach out to the ends of the earth that all men might hear and understand the wonderful works that God has done in Jesus Christ. And the fact that he gave tongues on that occasion seems to me to be entirely linked with the fact that it was a missionary event. Let me then gather the threads of the meaning of Pentecost together as we conclude. Pentecost is a saving event in which the Holy Spirit of God applies in us and accomplishes for us personally what Christ has accomplished in his death and resurrection once and for all on the cross. Pentecost is a moral event in which the Holy Spirit is given to enable us to obey the commandments of God and to reflect in our lives his holy law, so that the God who stands above us as God the Father and speaks to us to command us to obey him, having come to be alongside us as God with us in Jesus Christ and God for us in his death, now comes to be God in us, that he may enable us to live for his glory. And Pentecost is a missionary event in which the Holy Spirit is given to enable and equip and empower us to bear witness wherever we are, whether in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or to the uttermost parts of the earth, to all that God has accomplished in Jesus. I think the sum of it all is that the Holy Spirit is given fundamentally to magnify Christ. Not to gratify me, but to magnify Christ. And the more he fills me, the more Christ will be exalted, and I will be humbled, and the law of God will be honored, and the world will hear of Jesus. May God grant us to know such a breath of his Spirit upon us in these days to that end. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that you have left nothing undone for our salvation. For the gracious gift of your Holy Spirit, we bow to worship and adore you today. For the glorious truth that our bodies are his temple and he inhabits us, that he may exalt you, we worship you. Come, Spirit of the living God, and apply in our lives the riches of that grace which has been shed abroad in Jesus, and bless us today, that we may go out, that through us the wonderful works of God may be proclaimed to the world in all its need. Through Jesus Christ we ask it. Amen.